Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. Good to see you, honey, face to face.
Face to face. Do you feel like sometimes we just live life going, we literally work together every day.
I've passed you on the road 14 times this week.
Hilarious.
As you've gone in one direction. Now, we did think that we were going to have a little less carpooling at this point in our lives.
Right.
But Lola's driver's license appointment has been delayed. Not her fault.
No. There are weird rules in North Carolina right now. So, but she's on track to get her license in another month or two. But can I be honest?
You're okay with it.
Celebrated. And she did. She was fine with it. She's totally fine. It'd be like another. It's like an extra month because of some weird COVID rules and everything. I know that is the best quality time I have with her, except for the trip we just took, which we're going to talk about. You don't get a captive audience with your kid much when they are 16 years old, which is the most natural thing ever, because we get requests from her. Even people have requested us on Instagram. I'm like, I'm not going to send my daughter to a stranger's house to babysit.
Yeah.
She would. She loves kids. But when would she have time? She has a more active social life than either one of us. And then she volunteers and is on teen boards and things like that. So,
well, she's trying to get into college. And you remember those days. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you end up doing. Plus, your friends all have cars. So there's the social side of it. The bottom line is we're just not seeing as much of our teenagers as we normally do. For that reason, we were very... Well, I don't know about excited. We were very adamant about doing some sort of trip together because for the first time in 4 years, our kids had the same like break during the winter where we could all just go somewhere.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody likes looking at other people's photo albums from a trip. So we're not going to do that.
We're not going to smack you in the face with a bunch of pictures.
Or even just go into extreme detail. But I have to say, there is a particular joy in some forced family fun, and our kids hate it when we say that. But forced family fun, I feel like, is one of those things where you're like, hey, kids, let's go on a hike. And they're like, ugh. But then at the end of the day, they love it. In this case, it was the reverse. I was the one that needed to be convinced because I had made a New Year's resolution to get out of my comfort zone. And this trip was so far past my comfort zone. And some really cool things happened.
Do you feel like it's more in your comfort zone now that you're finished with it?
Right. Totally.
Yeah. And it wasn't so hard.
It's like exposure therapy. And I know that's a therapy for people with anxiety. You just if you're afraid of elevators, you go through in a particular way and you do it. So yes, absolutely.
So the title of today's podcast is Forced Family Fun. Fun fact, I wanted to call our board game that. I thought it would be really funny to call our board game Forced Family Fun, but our kids were like, no one will ever buy that. It's a good point, Lola. No one would ever buy that. But we do believe in forced family fun. In Kim's point, a hike is a good example. When it comes to vacations in our family, I do the planning. And I'm here's the reason why. Kim does everything else. Kim does most of the planning. Kim does groceries. She does children's schedules. She does workouts for us. She plans those. She schedules house maintenance and yard work. She is the best when it comes to this.
I am the best.
And you deserve a break, right? So we talk about this trip and you said, honey, you got this. So I planned this. My one and only job is not to mess it up. And this is going to sound like a cop-out coming from me, but I have discovered something over the last years when it comes to planning a vacation. Ready for this? You don't want to plan a perfect vacation. You don't want a vacation where everything is figured out for you and everywhere you look, everything is perfect and everything is comfortable.
Nice to me.
With a family vacation, I don't believe that that's as important as shared experiences and maybe some adventures. So we're going to talk today about the vacation that we had. A couple of...
But not in a douchey look at my photos way.
You've made that very clear. We don't have the ability to show photos. So I think we're okay. Kim was very concerned that we're going to be bragging about our vacation. That's not what we're doing.
Because nobody likes that.
No. So again, I think the... I get it, honey. Do you want to get it
no,
out?
No. We're fine.
We're going to talk about why sharing and shared experience are sometimes more powerful than just those relaxing vacations. And also, we're going to add on to that what we learned from the amazing race that really helped us plan and give a similar experience to our children. And I'm not talking about the obvious stuff from The Amazing Race. We didn't give them $1 million.
Opposite.
No. Opposite.
Yeah. And right? people had asked when we were sharing on Instagram and Instagram stories what we were doing. Oh, is this one of the trips you won an Amazing Race? No, we actually took neither one of those trips. We went a trip to Cape Cod and to Turkey.
Round of golf.
And which were great and incredibly generous. But you have a year to use those. We didn't have the time, really. There's like some uncertainty around like travel, and it would just been us, and then the schedules didn't align, so we lost access to the trips, so we didn't take those.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We did take this one, and I will say in a couple of situations the reason that we picked the place we went to is because we just heard the name
on The Amazing Race,
on a season of The Amazing Race, and we're like, oh, that looks pretty cool.
The social media season, they went here, and we're like, that looks cool. And it always been kind of in our mind,
right? And, you know, we've talked about this before, but we loved our time on the race, and not necessarily for the obvious reasons like winning the race or quote unquote getting to see the world. If you listen to our podcast, you know that you don't super get to see the world on The Amazing Race because the producers need everything to occur on camera. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of downtime where you're just in your room with no access to anything. Mm-hmm. But we love the fact that they took our phones and our internet away. It made life a little uncomfortable for us until we eased into the fact that it was just the two of us. And that part was great. That mm-hmm. togetherness was great. We got so much closer together because they put us in that uncomfortable situation. A couple of panic attacks, but...
by me.
We love the fact that it was hard to get from point A to point B and that it only worked when we worked together. So mm-hmm. in that same vein, we wanted to plan an experience for our kids that wasn't perfect, but was challenging and out of their comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
A few things that we did to make that possible. Number one, we went to an alien area. That's not the right term. I want to say went far away, but it doesn't have to be far away.
No, we went to an area where none of us had been to
alien
before.
Yes.
Yeah, foreign. Well, I think, foreign. And we did leave the country. We love to go to the beach, and we love to go to this one particular beach in North Carolina. And it is a very easy trip for us. I can drive there with my eyes closed, although that would be bad. I know which restaurants to go to. I know where the grocery store, the route. And there's a particular comfort in that I adore. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to have that. So that's why I was so... This was out of my comfort zone. I'd never been to this part of this country. I don't speak French. I'm not a good skier. Like all of these things, I was excited to go to spend time with my family, but I was not actually looking forward to it.
Fun fact too, we looked at Chamonix. We also, we were like, are we going to be able to afford this? So we looked at, we price compared Chamonix with Utah and Colorado. We're like, how much are we going to have to break the bank to go to Chamonix? You guys ready for this?
It was cheaper.
It's cheaper in Chamonix right now. Apparently the euro is not like crushing it right now. And I'm just telling you guys, it may be worth checking out right now while this is happening, some trips to EU countries, Because it was not as expensive as getting a trip to Colorado or to Utah.
Well, I also just think that in the U.S. right now, prices in general, everybody's using the excuses of inflation. Like, mm-hmm. even the food over there was so much cheaper. And here, yeah, don't even get me started. People are like, it's inflation. No, it's not everything. Come on, greedy corporate. Anyway, go ahead. You're fine.
So that's tip number one. Go to some place alien to you that you're not familiar with. And number two, and this was a big deal, like go to a place with limited connectivity.
As Penn said, we went to Chamonix, France in the Alps, and it's right in, which sounds so fancy. And but it was the most casual, wonderful place. Again, it was cheaper than going to Utah from where we live. And I will say that we found some research about why sharing experience, even really mundane ones, is so powerful. A recent study found that sharing experiences makes people rate those experiences as more intense than people who underwent them alone. Here's an experiment that happened. Students reported liking a square of 70% dark chocolate more when they ate it at the same time as another study participant. Also, they said the chocolate was more flavorful than those who ate it alone. And that was out of Psychological Science.
Wait a minute. So, okay. They like the chocolate better when they have someone else to eat it with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's...
I think that makes sense.
That makes sense. You're sharing... So even as something as mundane as eating chocolate, it is better when you're experiencing it with somebody else. So something like experiencing even the really mundane airport in another country and figuring out where the bathroom it was so funny because we were doing it together. Although I have gone to France by myself and it was lovely. But anyway, it is such a more powerful...
For some reason, everybody was so nice to you at France. When I went when I was 25, people were not nice to me, but everyone was nice to a super hot 25-year-old woman when she went to France.
Research has also shown that without friends or family present, even extraordinary experiences can be, you know, less spectacular. Happiness is inherently social, and that's from Scientific American, which... As much as I love being alone, and I took a solo trip to the beach this year and I blogged about that. I have to say, just having, it would have been more fun probably. I loved it and it was necessary to recharge, but to have somebody with me. So knowing that our kids, our teens are on the brink of leaving us and it was just, you know, going through these like really trying to navigate a new place together was so much fun.
Can I ask you something? Do you think that you and I have the same personality type and brain that we both have that need the same amount? I just feel like you are definitely better at enjoying something by yourself than I am. I think the chocolate was a great example. Like, I think you can see a beautiful sunset and internalize it and that can really fill you out. If I see a beautiful sunset and there's someone like 80 and by myself, I'll yell at the guy 60 feet away from me like, Carl, isn't that a great, like, I have to. So there's probably different needs, but I think with our family, you are that way.
I think I need both.
Yeah.
Especially with something as spectacular as what just happened. I think it was more special because we now have all these new inside jokes and we have all these things that happened. It was 10 out of 10 family time. It's this adorable little town. I also had a few hours to go by myself to walk around. And I kind of needed that because we were kind of all in a hotel room and I needed to just clear my head. And it was great, but it would have been maybe a little more fun if somebody had been with me.
We're going to get to the hotel room in a bit. But moving on with the tips. Number one was go to an alien place. Number two, have limited connectivity in some way or some case. We learned this a lot from The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. No phones, no internet, right? It was just us. I think going over to France, and it doesn't have to be France, we were 6 hours ahead on time. We were in a hotel with kind of spotty internet, not much staring at phones, and the TVs were all French or Italian, so there weren't a lot of ways to kind of go into that shell of staring at a screen, right?
Right. And that was my favorite part of The Amazing Race. I think it was panic-inducing to travel without a phone at first, and I realized that people are listening to us on a phone right now. I get the irony, but totally it's different. But as a family, to not be staring at devices separately. We did a or are we going to do it? Have we done it yet? About like picking a movie. It's so funny. We'll sit there on a Friday night as a family and scroll Netflix for an hour, mm-hmm. and then as soon as we hit play. I looked over one Friday night, everybody was on their phone. I was like, guys, we just worked for, and I was on my phone too. Yeah. So
it's the jingle. Let's all argue about which movie to watch so we can all just sit on the couch and just stare at our phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be right back.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So it was a relief that everything was so new that there was nobody had the desire to sit there on their phone. Again, we love some research.
Data!
So this came out of the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. Researchers there found that people tended to enjoy their meals less if their phone was on the table because it was a distraction. And data suggests that 89% of mobile phone users experience phantom vibrations, thinking their device is vibrating due to overuse or over-responsiveness.
Dude, so that's happened to me before.
Yes.
My leg, there's like a phantom vibration and I pull it out and there's nothing.
Yeah.
That's really scary and really sad. And I think I have a problem with that.
We are all addicted to these things because they have such power over us. And I'm the first person to raise my hand that I have a problem with my phone and I'm working to limit it. One more piece of research out of the Journal for Association of Consumer Research. They found that the mere presence of our phones nearby, even if they're face down, on silent, or in a bag or pocket, reduces the available cognitive capacity and functioning, even though we may feel like we're fully focused and attentive. So I read the book The Comfort Crisis at the beginning of the year, which is why I've made all these resolutions to get out of my comfort zone. And one of the solves for and the tips to get out of your comfort zone more frequently and connect with nature is to go on at least a 20-minute walk several times a week, and which doesn't sound like a big lift, but it's not that you just have your phone on silent in your pocket. You leave your phone entirely. So even if you're not looking at your phone while you're walking, it's still a distraction.
Can I go back to one of the first thing you said in this?
Mm-hmm.
Finding that they enjoyed the meal more without the phone on the table.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that. But I want to tell a story about a dinner that Kim and I had when we were in France. Because the French, their meals are journeys. This was one of the best meals I've ever had. We didn't have our phones on the table. In fact, mm-hmm. I put it away. There's a very important basketball game going on.
It was, oh my gosh, you guys.
I did not know the result to.
There was, who was it?
It was UNC UVA.
He went to UVA, yeah. But grew up cheering for UNC.
Oh no, it was UNC NC State. Sorry.
Whatever it was. It was very important. So Penn and I went on a date. We left the kids in the hotel room and PC, we set him up on the computer to watch the game. And this, he had been dying to watch this all day long. And we were on a date. And so Penn turned off his phone.
And listen, It was a wonderful restaurant, but I just got to say this. The food was unbelievable. It was romantic. We connected. All those things happen. It was a 3-hour and 15-minute dinner. And we didn't even get like the tasting immersion experience or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I was facing just Kim and like a wall. Kim was facing the rest of the restaurant. And after about 2.5 hours, I was talking to the waiter in French because he's his. And I was like, can we like wrap this up in like 15 minutes?
And he looked at us in a panic.
And this was, listen, we had ordered our dessert an hour before that.
Right.
We had eaten our main course. We're used to, I think this is a problem for us, we're used to ordering our entree, and as they bring the entree out, I give the guy his credit card, so as soon as we take our last bite of the entree, we're out of there, and our meal is 45 minutes.
Tops.
In a restaurant, particularly when we have kids, but also sometimes when it's just me and you and we want to get to somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we, that dinner was so good, and it was so long, and you were watching the other couples as this was happening.
I was watching all the other couples, and it's something else we learned. I don't know if it's this town specifically or if it's Europe, but they have seatings. They have 7 p.m. seatings
and 9 p.m. seatings.
And 9 p.m. seatings.
Yeah.
And so we were...
We were 7:45.
Somehow random. But so well, I guess maybe...
The meal's so long, they only have one seating at this place.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. You're right. So we came in. Everybody was there at 7:45, which is very... So we're all going through this process together. And by the way, this wasn't just this one restaurant. It was the whole town.
Sure.
With the seatings. And the first hour is great. Everybody's drinking their wine. But Penn and I are not big drinkers. So we have one glass of wine. We finish it. And by the time... That's when we're kind of like, okay, let's wrap up, ready to go. Everybody was like looking for help. It was like 3 hours and people were just running out of things to talk to. There were a lot of couples on their phones.
Yeah.
And
they were like binge watching entire seasons of Yellowstone while we were eating
so
dinner.
Bad. And I think maybe a 3-hour dinner, we've done 3-hour dinners with big groups, but I can't sit still that long.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, it was great. Love you. You're great.
You're fine. Okay. So to recap, number one, find a place alien. Number two, a place with limited connectivity. Number three, you get rooms that are clean and safe, but that's it. Yeah. Don't get the room. If you want to go with your family and have an adventure, don't get that room where you're just going to want to sit there all day and look out your window and
sit in a bathrobe.
Get room service and sit in a bathrobe. That's for when me and you go on a vacation.
I was going to say, I do love that.
Yeah.
But as a family, we choose to spend money on the experiences, and we make sure, yeah, they're clean and safe.
Right.
And they're nice. They're totally fine. This hotel was perfect.
It was clean and safe.
But it was very small, and it was fine.
I think that in Europe, they tend to pay less attention to those kind of stay and don't leave resorts because they know that you're really doing yourself a disservice if you're sitting in the room because you walk outside and it's the Alps.
Yeah. There were a few times where we were so tired just from a very active day. And I could see that all of us would have been tempted to disappear into phones or a show or a movie and just stay, which there's value in that, right? There's totally value in that. But the room was small and kind of dark and getting a little messy because we'd been there for a week. And so we all were like, let's get out of here. Mm-hmm. So it kind of got our butts out the door more than I think a super comfortable, posh.
Yeah.
You know,
we even said that out loud a couple of times. Like, I don't know that I want to stay in this room for much longer.
Yeah.
And then we got up and left. And it wasn't like a bitterness. You weren't panicky. You were just looking at and seeing people walking and drinking hot wine or whatever. Oh, they
hot wine on the side of the road. We never tried that.
We never tried it.
Yeah.
Okay. Clean and safe rooms, but that's it. Number four, activities. Don't make them easy. Make them hard. Make them new and make them challenging.
This is where it's out of my comfort zone.
And
vacation for me is typically reading a book on a beach,
right,
and you add in endless guacamole. And that's actually my version of heaven.
Yeah.
You ask like what I think heaven is like. I think it's
someone's making you guacamole.
Endless guacamole.
Uh-huh.
Possibly a margarita. Yeah. I don't know. It's
and
heaven.
A, and a pool.
And a pool, but
by
I'm
the
on the
ocean.
Beach. Yes. And it's like 78 degrees and there's an umbrella and I could sit there for all of eternity.
Right.
So the fact that we're going, I don't like to be cold and I don't like to be scared. So the fact that we're going someplace cold where we'd be skiing, I was like, it was a little jittery. So yeah, that's where I'll stop things.
Well, here are some of the activities that we did. We did quite a bit of skiing because we were in the Alps, mm-hmm. and we used a guide for this. And here's the reason why.
Your wife insisted.
And I'm very glad that you did. That was the one part of the planning that you did. I was like, oh, we'll just figure it out. Thank God that you mm-hmm. stepped in on this particular point, because the mountains are very well run. Everyone is very polite. The instructors are fantastic, but the markings are not the same as America. If you go skiing in Colorado or Utah, there's a universal kind of black diamond, and there's an arrow to where you're going to go, and the signs for where all the slopes are, it's a little confusing, and so you can really get into trouble and go down the wrong place.
Yeah, right. We went one day without him, and I accidentally guided
that's right
down. He did better than I did.
Yeah, but that was the end of his skiing. So there were those challenges. There was this one place we went to where if PC didn't keep taking a left, he was going to go off the edge of a mountain.
And this is why we had a guide who was literally, and he made him do it, which was great. He didn't pull him out of there. He made him fix it. But I had total confidence, but that was my one must have. Like, I don't have to have a fancy hotel room. We didn't go out to fancy dinners every night. We did a couple of those, but we got takeout. But I'm like, we have to have somebody who's local and can guide us. And if you're going there ever, send us a message. I will give you his name and his phone number.
Yeah.
He's
amazing.
The coolest.
I know I said we weren't going to hit you guys with photos, but we've got to find some way to get the photo of our children on the ice wall.
Yeah, we went ice climbing. That was my favorite.
That's not like a usual thing in the package. We inquired about it because we saw it on
The Amazing Race.
It wasn't even in Chamonix, but I'm like, I wonder if they do ice climbing here. Mm-hmm. And that was not easy either. You are on a wall of ice. You have even hiking to where the wall was challenging and a little bit perilous. And you had to clip onto ropes. And you could see some nervousness in some of our kids. You could see it in my wife. But that sense of accomplishment and the fact that in the end, I think that we were safe. It was just hard. Ice climbing was, you said, your favorite part of the trip.
Yeah, and I was nervous the first time. And PC, that was his least favorite part. I'll give him that. But it pushed him because we had a 10-minute hike uphill in the snow to get there. And so we're at this high altitude. He was pretty beat by the time he got there. And he is really good at a lot of things. But the minute he's not instantly expert level at something, like if he tries something one time and he's not expert level, he's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. So the fact we made him do it again, mm-hmm. that it was, I'm glad we did because he got more confidence in it.
I think a good sign of a challenging activity or a series of activities, and this happened with us, is when we got off the slope for the last time and our last activity was done, you and I gave each other a high five because everyone was going home in one piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was a great relief because we were very active. You know, I love my stats and data here. A study found that we learn the most when there is uncertainty in our emotions. It's impossible to learn in an atmosphere that is too familiar. Learning helps boost creativity and productivity. This is from Yale. Now, getting out of your comfort zone improves happiness, but we subconsciously fear getting out of our daily routine because we associate it with discomfort. That's that whole, maybe we should have him on, the Michael Easter, the author of Comfort Crisis.
Yeah, he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah, he has nothing else to do besides, you know, promote a best-selling book.
He's probably writing the sequel where he's climbing something even more difficult than he did before.
But that I will say that there was such a thrill. And by the way, the skiing thing, it was fine. We had a guide, which made it more comfortable. I'm using air quotes, but I was cussing most of the time I was going down the hills. But when we were done, there was an adrenaline rush.
Sure, yeah.
So there was a thrill of like, oh my gosh, I did. I look back at that hill. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so steep. And I just did that. So there was a thrill in that.
And you know, our kids get that too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Also, people who engage in a variety of experiences are more likely to retain positive emotions and minimize negative ones than people who have fewer experiences. The many benefits of staying curious and trying new things include improved memory, mood, and motivation, increased ability and agility to acquire new skills, and overcoming fears and discovering new talents. Now, I get that this entire episode sounds so privileged. We're talking about like, oh, all these like really.
No, you keep saying that. We saved up money for this.
I know.
We worked super hard on this and we did not stay in like a 5-star hotel.
No. But what I was about to say is this, the same lessons are, you know, on Mother's Day, the weather's always super nice here. So I always force family fun, make our family go on a hike. And we always try a new place, a new hike, a new park. The same thing can happen because there is a curiosity of like, I don't know. Is there going to be a big climb on this? Mm-hmm. We'll make it through because I'll do enough research on it. But like, how long is it going to go? Are we going to have enough water to get through? Should we bring snacks? Like all of those things, I think check the box of getting out of your comfort zone as a family. And we did it as a family. So there was such great relief, but also it was one of the best experiences we've had as a family.
And I do think that those senses of accomplishment, you don't get them when you're sitting with a limitless margarita and guacamole.
Have you ever finished like a big bowl of guacamole?
It just makes you feel like you've done something great.
I mean, the sense of accomplishment after just like scraping the bowl with that last chip. Mm.
All right. So our fifth tip. And this is, again, we're going back to our Amazing Race times and also a bit of a comparison. That is that navigating was an exercise. It was a challenge, right? First of all, we had to walk everywhere. It was funny. When I asked people if there was an Uber to go somewhere, they were like, why would you go on an Uber? You can walk. It's beautiful outside. It's a 15-minute walk. And I think on the first day, it was like 15-minute walk. And people walk for hours all the time. That's why they're all so fit.
Oh my gosh, everybody's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I would say we asked because we went to, you're going to get to that about going, but we ended up going to a hockey game and it was about a 20-minute walk. Mm-hmm. And that is just not something in the U.S. You get an Uber, you grab a cab, like you just don't walk 20 minutes through it. And we're not talking about through a town. Like we were walking alongside highways at one point, but that's what you do.
People walked it. So, I mean, we walked everywhere. It was also a little challenging, you know, had to find new ways to communicate. And sometimes it was confusing and sometimes you get lost, mm-hmm. which leads to tip number 6. My favorite tip of any great vacation, get lost. Get lost.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, we got lost in the Amazing Race and it was panic inducing, but it is fun. Talk about all of those things we're talking about, getting out of your comfort zone. I feel like every part of you, when you're lost, there's more on the line. And especially when you're asking for directions in a different language. And this actually was, I wasn't a part of this, but this was Penn's favorite part of the trip.
It was Lola's favorite part of the trip. Mm-hmm. I asked her. So there's a lot of fun involved when your authority figure messes up, mm-hmm. and everyone's safe and it's okay, and it can be really fun. So Lola and I went skiing on our own. Lola's a good skier.
Yeah.
And she wanted to do some more challenging runs. And so I said, okay, Kim, Penn Charles, Serge, we're going to meet you guys at the bottom of this run. And so off we went. And as I said, the markings are not great on European slopes. So we took a turn, and then there was one that said either return to this or return to this. The names of the lifts are the same as the names of the runs, but they don't always go to the same place. Don't know why, but that's the case. So I took a right when I should have taken a left. As I took the right, Lola's screaming, are you sure this is the right place? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it is. So then we look around and we're the only people there.
Bad sign.
Yes. When you look around and there's no one in front of you or there's no one behind you, what are you going to do? Big, wide open slope. Great. Look, let's just keep going. So when you go down lower than you think you're supposed to, that's trouble mm-hmm. in skiing because you don't know how you're going to get back up. So at one point, we look in front of us and there is a road.
Like with cars.
With cars.
And they're in skis.
We're in skis and there's a road. There's a car driving across our slope. Lola's like, Daddy, what are you doing? And she's laughing. Yeah. But she's screaming at me, like, you went the wrong way. We're laughing. I'm like, honey, we're just going to have to keep going. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, we're going to walk across the street. So thank God these are rental skis. I'm sorry to the rental company. We're clod hopping. If you've seen Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell and Will Arnett, when they're chasing each other with ice blades and they get stuck on the escalator.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of clopping along. We cross the street. We're both laughing hysterically. And we keep going down, and we get to a city.
It was not the one we were supposed to be in.
And it's not the city we started in. It's a different city.
Yeah.
A different slope. It has its own names. But I get to the bottom. I'm like, oh, I see a cable. There's a lift. There's a way to get back up. For a second, I thought we were going to have to get on a bus.
Yeah.
And go back to wherever we were. Or just get on a bus and go home, tail between our legs. So I saw like a gondola, but this wasn't like the gondola that you take your skis off, you walk up the stairs of like a municipality. Most people were not wearing skis.
They were taking the gondola to like work.
Yeah. And the gondola had a driver.
Ooh, that's not a good sign.
Lola was amused by all of this. But we take the gondola way up, higher than we were before, and we can see where we started. It's on a different mountain. We've gone up the wrong mountain, but there was a through trail, and after about 25 minutes, we got back to where you guys were. But like when we were on that gondola, we were equal parts terrified and amused, and it was an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get lost, as long as you are in a safe place, that's that kind of new experience. And I cannot recommend enough getting lost on vacation.
Yeah. It was the text messages coming in because we were supposed to be meeting you guys were very funny. And I was not worried because you guys are good skiers. If you had me, I'm not a confident skier, I would have been terrified because obviously the way down is going to be harder. So
let's go through the rest of this really quickly. I'm sorry. We're running out of time here. And you guys have listened to us for long enough. Number seven, last tip, is to go native. And you brought that up a minute ago with the hockey game.
Yeah. So I think it's really, especially if you're visiting somebody like a different culture, I think it's pretty important to try to support that economy in some way, support their community in some way. And so we always look for something that will benefit. I don't know.
It's like, not necessarily touristy.
That's not, I mean, right. The tourism benefits them, right?
Right.
But something a little more local. So Penn found a hockey team to support. So we went and bought tickets and merch, and like we were all in.
The Chamonix Pionniers.
The Pioneers.
We couldn't get a good seat, or I screwed up and got us bad seats because it was sold out.
It was
not a lot of tourists. It was the people of Chamonix who were there, but we felt like we were part of the town.
Yeah.
And that sort of immersion always gives me a sense of community, and it actually makes me miss the place more when I leave it.
I know. And I think that we had Donald Thompson on when we were talking about diversity and inclusion. And one of the things he said stuck out to me so much, which was like, just make friends with people who are different than you. And he gave the example of one of his good friends is blind. And so now when Donald literally sees the world, he looks around saying, oh, my friend would have trouble navigating this space because of all of the stairs. My friend would have trouble. There's no Braille here. So my friend would have trouble with this menu. So it allows Donald to then advocate for his friend. And then he worries about his friend. And so that can apply for issues like that. But also, I feel like going to that game, we were sitting on chairlifts, like Lola and I sat next to this precious little girl in a chairlift, and Lola and I talked about her and wondered about her. And like, we made friends with the people working at the hotel. So now I feel like we have friends, I'm using air quotes, so that we are still checking the weather there and we're concerned about them. And Lola is looking up news in France because she's like, we've made friends. And I think that that's how we make the world a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I think that's the beauty of travel. I was not excited. I was excited to go because I was going to get to go with my family and I knew we'd have fun. I had no idea the adventures that we'd get to have. And this is the first trip in a long time. Usually I'm really ready to get back. I was depressed coming home. I wanted to stay. I had another week in me. I was, I was not thrilled to be coming back.
Makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm. You planned a great trip, babe.
So those are our 7 tips. I'm going to give you a bonus 8th tip that isn't going to make much sense, but that's okay. For some reason with our family,
oh gosh,
the last 3 vacations and our 3 favorite vacations potentially have started with something going terribly wrong in the first day of what we've done. So we were on our way to Hawaii, our only trip to Hawaii, and the flight
this
got...
This was, by the way,
eight years ago.
Yeah,
the flight got
canceled,
and we had to get a new flight and just pack up our stuff and throw it all into suitcases and like sprint to get to the airport to get on there. Our last ski trip before this to Montana, which was five years ago, was the worst flight in anyone has ever experienced on the way to Montana in front of a storm that even people who are regular travelers were like crying.
Yeah, they were crying and screaming. Yeah.
It happened again to us. And part of this story is just so I can say that the people who are on the flight crew from Raleigh to Paris on Delta are our new favorites.
Brenda and Carson.
Yes.
Brenda was the pilot. Carson was the first officer.
Yeah.
And then Maria was a flight attendant or a gate agent.
From France.
In Paris.
Yeah.
Her name is Maria. I will say we benefited because in seeing the pilot and first officer as we were exiting the flight, leaving Paris.
Right.
They said, oh my gosh, we're fans of The Amazing Race. And so it was a very quick interaction. We were leaving. It was a long flight. It was an overnight flight. I woke up as we were landing. And so I was like, kids, get your stuff. I'm like getting all their stuff ready.
Yeah, you're responsible for everyone's stuff.
And so I was in their seats getting stuff ready. I did not get my stuff ready is the preview. And so Brenda and Carson, we didn't know. We're like, oh my gosh, thank you for getting us here safely. Thanks for watching The Amazing Race. Great.
Okay.
As we're walking off the plane, very quick interaction, but they're very kind, very memorable. And We get off the terminal. We have to make a connection. So we're kind of running through this airport and it doesn't make any sense. And I need to get my phone out to give them my boarding pass.
Uh-oh.
And I don't have my phone.
Uh-oh.
So I check. I use
pens. We find my iPhone.
And it's on the flight. I freak out because not only is our entire trip, we used Shannon if you guys need vacation planning help, she booked all this. She booked so many of the things for us. Shannon has like this app and it's all on my phone. But we run our business from my phone.
Right.
And so I started freaking out and nobody would help us.
Well, I went to the Air France gate and they didn't speak English. So I speak a little bit of French and I was speaking to her and all they were saying was no Delta. We can't help you with Delta. And Lola,
I'm like, you guys are partners.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting upset. And Lola goes, Daddy, listen. And I'm like, hang on a second. I'm trying to speak French. And Lola finally tugs my shirt. She goes, Daddy, look over there. And our friends from Delta are walking by.
Yeah, so they're getting...
Right, and they speak English. So I go over and I talk to them. Kim is keeping it together, but it's tough, right? Because it is your business. And I ask them, is there anything you can do? And they're like, well, we can't talk to those guys, which was interesting. Delta and Air France, they don't want to talk to each other. I guess they're their own thing. What happens if you leave your phone? The answer is you have to fill out a report, which that doesn't really help us out very much. So Carson says, well, I could put it on this text called My Family or something, which is all the people in the airport. And I said, could you please do that? And then I wouldn't let Carson leave without me grabbing his cell phone number because they had to go. They're on ice at that point.
Yeah.
They have to go downstairs and get processed and be part of whatever the next thing is. So they didn't have to do any of this. They probably... Like the standard operating procedure is probably there's nothing we can do. I'm sorry.
No, but Brenda even tried to get back on the plane and Air France was like, no,
they wouldn't let them.
They can't. And she's like, I just flew the plane here. And she's like, I can't.
This is the captain of the plane.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're waiting for the next flight and I pull Kim over. I'm like, here's the things that are likely to happen. The most likely is they're going to find your phone, but you're not going to get it until a long time from now. They're going to have to mail it. It may not make its way to Chamonix. We're not sure. What I don't think is going to happen is that you'll lose your phone forever.
Right.
What could super not sure happen is Carson may get in touch with the gate agent and the gate agent may be able to get it to this gate, which was a mile walk.
Right. And so I'm like, okay, here. So I got onto the Find My iPhone, and I was about to hit, like, you can report it as lost, mm-hmm. just so people couldn't get it, access it, yeah. cancel our accounts.
And like, I was telling you to hold off for a second.
But I'm like, I felt very strongly that I needed to do that right now, because we run, like, our Instagram page is through my phone, like, all this stuff. So I look at it, and all of a sudden the dot is moving.
It is so exciting.
Phone is moving, but they're boarding our flight. And so it was like, will the dot get here by the time we have to get on our flight?
Babe, I know you're having a really tough time. That was so much fun watching that dot move.
I know. We were the last people. We were the last people. And I was like, and this sweet Maria.
Sweating,
running there.
Short of breath.
With my phone. And I gave her the biggest hug. So the Delta flight crew, the Delta people, 10 out of 10.
The Charles de Gaulle gate agent.
I need to actually write that. I need to write them, Delta, because I think they get a lot of complaints, and not often do they get accolades. Mm-hmm. And I do believe they would have done that for anybody. I know they were fans of The Amazing Race, but I do believe the flight crew would have stopped to help. I do believe, like, because they're like, here's what we've done. We got to go. It wasn't like they were sitting there, you know. But so I, anyway, they did great. You guys, I love you. Thank you for listening to our, but I also have plans, when we're empty nesters, to be travel bloggers. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll be travel podcasters.
Yeah.
If you
could. Maybe we'll get a sponsorship from Delta. We just said a lot of nice things about them.
Anyway,
isn't that how it works?
The particular joy of Forced Family Fun. I totally recommend it. Go someplace new with your family. Go to a new restaurant at the minimum. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.